West Webster City Council planning meeting to order. That's all we got. Alright, if you would, we'll stand for the invocation and the pledge of allegiance. Dale, would you give the invocation?
Sure, let's pray. Father, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to get together to plan for the future of this town. We just hope that it's, pray that it's in line with what you would have us do, and that all that we do will bring glory to your name. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
There we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You might have heard from Audrey or Ms. Davy.
I have not heard from Davy. Have you heard from Davy? Audrey said she's probably not coming, so.
Okay, all right. I'll text Ms. Davy and Ms. Audrey, and you go ahead and get rolling.
So we have a little bit of an abbreviated, there's Davy. All right, so, you know, we got canceled out because of, was it snow or hurricane? I can't remember at this point. We've had so much fun this past year.
Snow.
I think it's snow.
And, so we still have Mike is here to help facilitate, but we'll introduce him in just a minute, if that's all right, or a few minutes. I was going to take about 30 minutes to just give you a recap. I may not take all the 30 minutes, but I allowed for some time in there in case you have any comments or questions, and that we could get to those, and then we'll turn it over. You've all been through this before, so I think you know how to do it. So this is just more or less to remind you than anything else, what your staff's working on. This is our budget schedule of events. Just like we've done in years past, we'll do budget work sessions before the February, March, and April meetings. You'll have a special call meeting in April to receive the final proposed budget, and then you do first reading on at your May, and your second reading on your June. So, beginning the recap of 2024, last January, you guys sat down in pretty much the same fashion that we're doing now, and you came up with a list. It was a little bit different than we had done it the years past because we used a different facilitator. And so I don't have quite the detail that we've had in years past as a result. So I took the way they were categorized in the resolution that you adopted after the priority setting workshop, and I put them on here. That there's not a whole lot of explanation to each one, but I think most of us know what most of this is. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer it. The big old clunky check marks are the ones that we have either done or are in the process of doing. So I give you just a second to kind of look at what you put as your priorities last year.
Kevin, what have we done for maintenance on the veterans' part, other than just the basic?
That was it.
That's it.
That was it, but we weren't even doing the basic before. I think we ended up removing a tree out of there. We definitely put mulch in there a couple of times.
We get the street lights everywhere we need it.
We have put in new street lights all of downtown and most of 123. We've not got the new lights into the neighborhoods.
and Anderson Park would be basically a half a check because we still aren't going to be able to complete it, are we?
Well, we'll be able to complete what the grant's paying for.
Right. We're not going to be able to complete the park. But
correct.
Correct.
Kind of the same thing with Yusuf Fields. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, we got the concession stand put in. We got the bathrooms put in. The grass still gives Herb a little bit of trouble. It's not at the level that he'd like to play with. For when that ball rolls out of the infield into the outfield, it's still popping up a little bit. And that's just due to the grading and the condition of the grass. We hope that this spring it'll be playable. Offer that bigger field. You guys have seen people playing out in the green space. Any other questions? So just a reminder, for the current fiscal year that we're in, this is the budget up at the top that we adopted by fund. And then I put the two slides, these are all copies of slides from your budget presentation last year. I thought it was important that you know, over here to the left, the citywide summary. We did a 3% COLA increase. We had nearly a 12% health insurance increase. Capital investments, we are still doing PAYGO, capital lease purchase utility bond. We'll talk about that a little bit more, something we had hoped to already have underway. I'll tell you why in a few minutes that we didn't get there. The increases that we did last year, we didn't do an increase to every fee that we had, but we did them on all the big ones. And most of last year, and as I'm starting to look at the budget this year, I expect we're going to have some increases again. Most of it's just trying to keep up with the inflationary cost of operating. I don't expect anything to be more than what we had. Sewer and electric are going to get real interesting for us this year because of the number of things that we have coming up with OJRSA on the sewer side and PMPA on the electric side. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. Going the wrong way, sorry. So things for you all to think about. State of the economy. I think we're trucking along all right. Anticipated construction activity. We still have new housing starts in town. Cooper's Mill, their first phase is nearly built, and the developer's called in and is ready to get started on the second phase of Cooper's Mill. I've driven by there a few evenings here lately, and there's a lot of people out there just walking their dogs, having a good time. Of course, we have the new Sphinx in that we didn't have a year ago. Everybody keeps asking me if I'm sure that's McDonald's going in. I'm not certain. We just think it is.
Somebody said the city has announced that it was a McDonald's. I've never heard that.
I've tried to hedge on that everywhere I can. We are fairly certain that's who it is, but I don't have anything other than a site plan that they sent us. Future capital needs, most of our capital needs really revolve around infrastructure. Some of that is equipment. And of course, I guess I really don't need to put in here best interest of the sea residents.
We've got two new homes, I think. I think there's two going up on Simpson.
Yeah, I think, is that Adam Smith's house?
Yeah, Adam's ready to do two, and then Mike Alexander called me the other day. He's ready to build two out at Westminster Crossing. Two new ones out there, so it's still moving good.
Well, and Jonathan Terry's got his first one built. I'm guessing will be up for sale soon. And I saw Josh Thomas at Rotary last week, and Josh is, I think, close to starting on that project too. Current financial environment. This slide is essentially the same as what I showed you last year. And again, these categories coming down below the paragraph are my assessments. Growing pains in public safety, growing pains in recreation. That's because those things are public safety, I mean police and fire together. Cost cutting, still struggle a little bit with that revenue source versus all we want to do with it. Stabilizing to stable on the water distribution system. We may almost be to the point where we could say that's stable, meaning I think we would have stopped some things. But the reason I didn't put that in this time is because when we had our ISO reevaluation, they cited us for some reduced flows that we didn't have a while back. I've got our guys diagnosing why that's the case. We've got some pretty good information there, but that still goes through the condition of the water distribution system. I think we're stabilized at the water treatment plant, in pretty good shape there. The struggle is going to be is this transition plan. Diana Denny will be retiring soon. We've got good staff in place to take over. They just aren't as experienced as she is. We've stabilized the condition with the electric system. Still have a good way to go, but I feel like we've got a much better handle on things than we've ever had. And I'm proud to say I say that every year. And then we're stabilizing on the sewer collection system. Our guys are doing a lot more of what we call grooming and general maintenance. We have the SCIP, the $1.7 million portion of the SCIP underway, and we'll be starting the $3.2 million section of the SCIP within the next couple of months. All that has to be done in this calendar year. And that's gonna really enhance a lot of portions of our sewer system that we're having a lot of inflow and infiltration. So I didn't know what to call these next couple of slides. I just said emergent considerations. So these are things that are emerging. So when we talk about growth pains and public safety, here's part of that. The top part is what we received in our ISO rating. In 2015, we received an ISO rating of 2. When we had the reassessment done last year, we're given a provisional, my words, not theirs, we're given a provisional 3. And if we are able to have them come back in and reassess, we could keep our 2 if we attend to the 2 points that are there, staffing and water pressure. Those two things get us the points. We're not that many points away to being able to keep the 2, but we only have until October to prove to ISO that we've got it, or we drop from a 3 to a 2.
Drop from a 2 to a 3.
Thank you. And then what I would have put up there without the ISO is staffing. We're getting what I would call the smaller rolling stock in fire. We've been tackling that a piece of equipment each year for the last couple of years. But staffing still is the bigger consideration there. Police, equipment, we talked about the need to get some of these older Tahoes rotated out a cycle sooner rather than later. Accreditation, that's something that Fred and David have already begun working on at the police department. That may require some additional resources, whether that is just equipment or that may be staffing. Recreation, we have new operating costs that we didn't have once those fields get going, so this budget is going to reflect that. Increase for new equipment, we're going to need some new equipment to go with it. Shouldn't need a lot, but we'll need some. And then staffing. At this point, I'm fairly comfortable telling you there's going to be at least one new recreation position. to help manage everything that's going on. So we talked about skip, so looking at the left side, that's just an old schematic of the Oak Street area sewer system, where a year ago we thought we would have to use bond money to be able to improve most of that area. When our bids came back for our skip project, we had $5 million. The bids came in at 1.7. That left us the 3.2. And as of just a couple of weeks ago, RIA has agreed to let us use the 3.2 on the Oak Street area sewer. We'll be coming to you with some, putting it out to bid and coming for you to consider those bids for award. Troy Rozier and his group are working on those things right now. Electric, there's a lot of improvements we've made in electric, but we have a pinch point that kind of is, it's not where we have the most outages, but it's what causes the most outages, but it's got the potential. You guys have probably looked down the utility lines off Anderson Road, which is the picture to the far of the right. So that's looking from Anderson going back toward the substation. This other one is looking from Anderson coming back up toward Abbey Street. You can see how close those trees are to those lines. Those trees are trimmed as far away as we can get them trimmed. We've already trimmed, in some cases, beyond where our right-of-way is. It kind of depends on the property owner. Richard Tucker has been telling me almost since I got here, you got to get those lines underground if you're going to really enhance the stability of the electric system. So I'm going to show you what we have in terms of at least a general plan to do that for now. So in utilities, last year we talked about a $5 million bond. The reason that it didn't come to you guys last year, or that it hasn't already come to you, is we had to close the USDA bond out first before we could then begin to do this. When you borrow money from the USDA, if you ever want to borrow money off that utility system again, USDA has to consent. And so we couldn't begin this process until we closed the hole. You might remember we just did that in December, so we haven't gotten very far into that. And you might also recall working with the USDA is a long process. We also needed to get our audit completed, which the audit was completed at the end of December. The auditor came and gave you a presentation in January, but it was done in December. So that's why we didn't. That's why we haven't already brought this to you. Of course, the first thing you see up there is bond administration. That amount doesn't change. It takes some money to get money. The electric underground and SCADA system. SCADA is just a way of monitoring a system remotely. We put $1.5 million in there, and that goes back to what you saw a minute ago, to be able to underground those lines. Richard Tucker is working on a refined estimate for that. Lucky Street, James Street, and Highland Avenue, we've got problems with those water lines that we really need to address. We've had Troy work through a number of scenarios, and those numbers that you're seeing there are rounded up. So everything that you see here, I expect would actually come in a little bit lower, but because none of these numbers are recent, I started rounding up a little bit. Even though the cost of doing this hasn't gone up like it had the 2 years before. The skip match, the reason that's in here, we have our skip match in the bank right now. The reason that I was asking you to use this money to pay for that skip match, that allows us to leave $500,000 in the bank. That helps our cash position and cash flow. That is the easiest way to help with cash flow. And if you're wondering how cash flow is from month to month, ask Ms. Rebecca. Mm-hmm. She'll give you big old law on those. So that that's got a lot of multifunctionality in doing that. Downtown streetscape utilities, there are some things that are not going to be covered in the grants. If we get the grants, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Water system SCADA, the SCADA system that we have right now that monitors our elevated tanks needs to be replaced. The computer software and hardware has reached the end of its useful life. It's not something that we like to do, but it's there. Water tank, system tank improvements, that's for the Unity tank. You may recall we've applied for that 3 times now from RIA. 3 times they've turned us down. We're going to apply for it again. They tell us every time it's a good project, just didn't get enough points to score. We'll probably get the same number of points. The reason that we keep going after it is because all we need is somebody else that's applying to get less points the next time. When I talked with Troy and now with Scott Paris, we still put this as the highest priority to try and get the RIA funding through. We really need to improve that water pressure that is coming out of Long Creek. And then we have the wastewater manhole rehabs. That's a plug number. Last year when we talked about this, we talked about going out and identifying. We have probably the 25 worst manholes identified. Some of them are in that skip area, some of them are not. If we've got to take something out, we can. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons that that stays in this list of projects is as we've worked through this OJRSA remodeling new governance study, the consultants were very critical of Westminster for only using grant funds for capital improvement for sewer. So what this shows to kind of the world, the state, who helps get us a lot of funding, is not only will we go to the state and ask them for funding, but we'll also come up with our own funding.
I have a question. I think I remember you giving a breakdown about what each manhole would take to repair. What was that?
So it's anywhere from $15,000 to $75,000. So it depends on the depth, the location, if it's easy to access, if it's not, but some of them aren't very deep at all, and some of them are very deep. And if they're deeper, it's just more work and more concrete to put back in there. I think we did it one time where we had an average cost of $50,000. So some are going to be less, some are going to be more. So the grants, you have this. These are all the grants we have. You may or may not remember, a week or so ago, we got an email that said all grants were canceled. Well, that's all these. The only entity that says for sure that our funding is secure from the federal government is RIA. And that's because most of that is state money, not federal money. When the presidential administration canceled all grants, it included disbursements. So on the line was us even being able to pay the Anderson Park contractor for what we owed him. Of course, a judge stepped in, put a delay on it. After they put the delay on it, the presidential administration withdrew the impoundment, as it would be called, and now everybody up there is fighting about it. The result for us, I don't really care too much about the politics or the fighting of it all, but you can see what may get paused on our side. The two that are the most in danger are the two at the bottom. The LWCF grant, because that comes through the National Park Service. So you can imagine national parks are probably not high on what you hear coming out of Washington's priorities, and we don't have a signed contract for that grant. The state folks said it's yours to have, but we don't have a signed contract. We do on the three above it, the two CDBGs and the ARC grant. We have contracts. That makes a big difference. SCEMD, we have a signed contract. You've even awarded a contractor, Reagan, when was that, last year?
August or September.
And SCEMD has just gone dark on us. Can't get anything out of it. So I don't know if we will get those backup generators. And that was before even the presidential election took place. That one has been administratively very difficult. So if we don't get those grants, we will have to decide how we're going to reprioritize and what we're going to do. Hospitality tax collections, this is one of the few things I'm giving on the revenue side. You have seen the numbers before, but we've now added in 2024. Our collections were actually down last year. I don't really have an explanation or an idea why. We seem to have peaked in 2022. We do have Sphinx that is now offering a whole lot more food than the old Sphinx did. And if indeed we are getting McDonald's, then that would be there. The challenge that you get with a new restaurant coming in, I'm sure you all know this, is that are we just moving what someone's going to eat from one restaurant to another restaurant and the value doesn't go up, or are we actually attracting new people in and new money to go into that? For instance, for this current year, this current budget year, we budgeted $200,000 in that revenue line, which would only include your July through December tallies. But if we stay on pace with what we did the previous year, we will actually come in under budget on those revenues. Reminding you of how we disperse the money, hospitality tax comes into the general fund for things that qualify, go to the youth rec for the things that qualify. We do 5% franchise fee out of the utility fund. I'm not expecting to give you a solid waste transfer this upcoming year. We need more of that money to stay back in solid waste. This is what was on the horizon a year ago. And I see I'm already past my 30 minutes. I told Mike there was no way I was going past 30 minutes. I would not call her out by name, but someone in that general direction just kind of gave me a look like, we know that's how you do things. Recap in 2024, what did we finish? We finished the USDA water project. That was a big deal. There was a lot of effort that went into that. That is now done. We broke ground on Anderson Park. We broke ground on Horton Outdoor. We have now used up all of the Oconee County ARPA money to improve our water treatment plant. Design is underway. The design is nearly finished for the downtown streetscape. We have our skip sewer replacement or rehab is underway. Zoning ordinance rewrite, that's one of the few policy things that I put in here. And we sold the Raleigh Street property. So a year ago when we were talking about what we were going to do, those are the things we did. And when you see on the horizon here, this is what I see on the horizon. What I see as I talk to the department heads and the staff, the Horton Outdoor Rec Complex. Of course, we got the $2 million commitment from Horton. 1.2 of that was delivered in cash. The $800,000 we're going to have to bond through the hospitality tax to cover the difference. That's just kind of like an interim bridge financing mechanism. Downtown improvements. I'm talking more about streetscape than anything, Anderson Park, annexations. The big thing on here is the staffing challenges and the ISO rating, and then the PMPA and OJRSA decisions that we've got to make, all of which we don't even have all the information that we're going to need to make those decisions, but it will very likely be in this calendar year. Challenges, hospitality tax limitation. Don't know what to say about the grants. If we're able to keep the grants that we have, I don't expect there'll be new grants to go after. Anything that's federally sourced anyway, if it's coming through the state and it doesn't initiate in the federal government, we may have a chance. We have a lot of projects and we don't want to lose momentum. Utility rate increases, we had some last year. I would expect some more this year. Competitive pay, we've been able to do well at recruiting and retaining our employees. I would really like to not lose that momentum. Last year we had about a 12% increase in PBIT health insurance. We don't know what that would be yet for the upcoming year. We're working through the consent order for the sewer system. and then still trying to build tax base through economic development and residential improvement, as well as annexation. So I gave you this list, what to do. This is just, again, a list I generated. You'll have it in front of you as Mike comes up and starts talking through what you want to mark as your priorities. I don't think there's anything on here that you haven't already seen before. I took a few things that were on here last year that we finished, like Riley Street, the USDA project. The rest of it is pretty close. I did put Horton, as we stopped calling Hall Road, Hall Road, we now only refer to it as Horton in turn. So for you, what is the most important? What do? What do we fund? And at what amount? That's why you're here today. And that's all I have.
Thank you, sir.
So I went about 10 minutes over what I told Mike I would do. So Mike, my first thing to say is I apologize to you. And then Mike and I are going to switch computers out, and then I'll let Mike introduce himself and get his partner on the way. So if you want to take about 5 minutes just for us to do that.
Swollen as I thought you'd look.
Huh?
You don't look as swollen as I thought you'd look.
Most of the swelling kind of went down and just hurt today.
Will you get some paper towels, baby? Just
yep.
That's your,
nope, thank you.
You don't want me drinking
that? Oh, I just kind of spread. This is what I accuse my kids of doing.
That's nothing we need to do. I just got a reminder of it. Scamp legislative record call. That's not nothing we need to do.
I don't think so. I think they're still worked up about whatever that ORS request is, and I still don't know why. It's all public information. I mean, nearly everything they asked us for is on the website. I'm actually going to sit in the back so I can listen better.
Okay, don't trip.
You doing all right today?
Thank you.
everybody else if they had something they had. Is that something you? He said that, Chief. I didn't say that.
Well, I think that's been our 5 minutes.
Yep,
so if you all are ready, so I think I'm supposed to introduce myself. That's easy. I've been with myself my whole life, so I know quite a bit about that. Looks like I'm being recorded. That's not always a good thing for me, so I'll do my best to say things that I should say only. It's always fun to have the press here. That's always a nice, fun thing to keep myself in check with. So let me introduce myself briefly, and then I've got some things to chat about before we get into where we're supposed to go. So my name is Mike, Mike Duncan. I'm a South Carolinian. I am from Aiken, South Carolina. That's actually not true because I'm from somewhere much smaller than that, near Aiken, but nobody, very few people know where Williston, South Carolina is. And so my grandparents came with DuPont Construction in the 50s, and my father worked at Savannah Riverside for 30-some years. I was there for 20-some years, so we have about five generations of us in the Williston area. Small town, 3,500 people. 3 square miles, sound familiar? And I too served on council in Williston. So I have sat in a chair similar to yours for a stint. I left Savannah Riverside and moved to Houston, and we were in Houston for about, 13 or 14 years. Never thought I would leave the small community of Williston, just assumed I would be there. I graduated, my grandchildren graduated high school the same place my father did, and so in Williston. So I assumed that's where I would spend the rest of my life. God had a different plan for us, and we put our house on the market in Williston. Thought it would take 2 years to sell. As you might know, real estate doesn't always move very quickly in smaller communities. The first guy that walked into the house bought it for our asking price, and we didn't have a place to live. So we ended up jumping on an airplane and moving to Houston because we went there to play golf one time and then had a wonderful second or third career. I retired from Shell Oil in May of 20, where I had a global job with 14 refineries around the world, and my responsibility was emergency services, safety leadership, and about 15 other things, but that was the primary responsibility. So I retired basically when COVID started, and we relocated to Beech Island, South Carolina, which is just the other side of Aiken. There is no beach and there is no island, but that's where all my friends in Houston thinks we live in this wonderful tropical place, when in fact that's not it at all. So after retirement, I continued to do this leadership type work, strategic thinking, just pouring into people. I'm very blessed and very fortunate. If I never work another day, my lights will stay on. So this is just fun for me to meet new people and to literally, that's my phrase, pour into other people where they are. I'm able to do this for the city of Aiken. That's the connection. So Reagan's dad, I've worked for him in some of the similar stuff, the chief down there. Charles Barranco, I've worked with Charles every 2 weeks, he and his leadership team. And so that's the connection. That's how I got here, and that's a brief part about my story. So I'm going to come back to me in a second, but I want to talk about you for a minute. So I was sitting back there feverishly making notes while Kevin was going through his material, because I've made some assumptions about you. And I'd like to check those assumptions to see if I'm accurate or not. I'd like your feedback if I'm inaccurate. So I assume you all live here.
Got it right.
You're not from California. You didn't fly in for this meeting. You all live here. All right, one for one. I assumed you volunteered to civically serve your community. I know you probably voted in, but you had to volunteer firm time to put your name on the ballot. So how am I doing so far? You volunteered to civically serve your community. You give a lot of time to this role. Not as much on that one. This takes time, does it not?
A lot of time.
Away from
business
my
and family
and my business. Mm. You probably get some negative consequences for serving on this council.
No. We get a lot.
Okay. You leave some skin on the table.
Yeah.
Occasionally, because you have chosen to serve civically within your neighborhoods and your communities. Doing pretty good here, aren't I? You get along fairly well.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are probably some differences from time to time. I'm going to guess that you disagree pretty well.
We do.
Okay. Dang. I'm earning my money. Here's the one that I'd bet a cup of coffee on because of all these other things. You care.
Yes.
But see, if we get off on that one square, we're in trouble for the rest of the day. Because if we don't care, then we become ambivalent. When we argue, it's because we care. Check that with. Make sure you're right. I'm right. You're right. We're together. Because if you don't care, then you would just go, do what you want to do.
Right.
I've always preferred somebody come in my office and bang their fist on the table and argue with me versus say, do what you want. Because I know that person cares.
Amen.
So I may leave that with you as just a starter. That when we disagree with one another, whether it's in this room or at a fire scene or wherever, just remember that person cares. Or they would be ambivalent. And I can't lead ambivalence. I can lead care. Sound right?
Yes, sir.
So you also see that I don't like to talk all the time. I'll talk a lot. But I do hope that you'll all help me by having your voice in the room from time to time, which leads me to, I need your permission. You've been in facilitated meetings before, I understand, which means some guy that you don't know gets to basically tell you to be quiet from time to time because somebody else is talking. Hold your thought just a minute. I'll come back to you. Does that sound like a facilitated meeting? Well, we're grown adults. Who's this dude from Aiken showing up and telling me to be quiet? Well, if you know I care, you know a bit about my background, you'll know that, Mr. Mayor, if you'll hold that thought just a second, as soon as Councilman Powell gets finished, I'll come back to you. Mm-hmm. If you know that about me, then that won't get you too mad at me when I say, would you hang on just a second? Can we do that? Would you allow? Because I got to have your permission. Otherwise, you'll keep talking and I can't stop you. I mean, you're grown people. I can't stop you. So you have to allow me to facilitate, which if I promise you, your voice will be in the room at the right time. And even if you don't say anything, I may say, ma'am, could you give me a little bit more from that? I can tell you got something behind there you're not sharing with me. That's what I'd like to do. Does that suit you?
Yes, sir.
That suits you? All right, just one or two more things that I told you I would come back to me. I'm a consultant. What assumptions are you going to make about me? I'm a consultant. Come on, I know you made some. I know you did.
Councilman Powell, what kind of assumptions did you make about me? Because I'm a consultant.
Come on.
You don't, no assumptions. Okay. Who else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to believe that you are a well-rounded person and you've got a lot of experience.
I'm trying to lose weight. Yes, ma'am. I'm a real well-rounded person.
But that you have a lot of knowledge.
I've been around the block a few times. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And
I'm
similar.
That that what you're going to share with me is going to help me.
Okay, thank you. I hope that's true. There's got to be at least another one. Go ahead.
You've been effective at this in the past, okay. But you wouldn't still be doing it.
Oh, y'all are nice to me. There's got to be some. Thank you. That's also true. Any negative assumptions? Thanks for being nice to me. Come on. Everybody knows consultants are highly priced. Yep. They tell you a bunch of stuff you can't really do, and you'll never see them again. Come on. You've heard that about us, haven't you? Yes, sir. Why didn't you tell me that?
I was about to.
Well, I really don't like the word consultant because of some of those connotations. What I do in my little tiny one-person shop is call myself a thinking partner. Because even though I've been around the block, I've not been around your block. Even though I might have an idea of how you might want to solve it, it ain't up to me. But if you let me stand by you a little bit and go, turn the diamond a little bit more. I wonder what you might see. If that's of value, then I earn my salary. Hopefully a little bit more. Hopefully, if I can give you more than a dollar's worth, you get a little bit more. So that's kind of my grounding. The only thing I didn't say on my little sheet of paper, two things actually. I've been caring for the community since I was 16. My first volunteer job in Williston started at 16. That's been a bit, and I'm still doing it. So hopefully that speaks a little bit to my character and a little bit of why I left my wife and came over here to spend a day with you folks. Because I really do look for your success. And I've just met most of you today. But it matters to me. You've got an important job with 3,000 plus people that are paying attention to the decisions you make. This is important. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve along with you. Okay, da-dum-dum, let's get busy. I don't have any breaks planned, which means by 7:30 we'll quit, I promise. But somewhere around every 45 minutes to an hour, somebody just say, look, Mike, I've had enough. Stop a minute. If you want to get up and walk around, please do that. This is fairly casual. You know where the facilities are. I'll let you stop so you can concentrate on our brains that everything buzzes. You got to go concentrate on that from time to time. So we'll stop and let you do that as well. All right, here's a question. What's the differences between strategic thinking, tactical thinking, and prioritizing? And if nobody knows the answers, I'm going to go to the fire chief because he knows these answers I know. What's the difference between strategically thinking, tactically thinking, and prioritizing? Thank you for making notes. That makes me feel like I said something important. Help me. And I'm pretty good at not embarrassing you if your answer is wrong. So it's a safe space. Help me understand the difference in those terms. Just one of them.
Well, strategically, you'd be trying to make a plan that could be effective, but you've got to make the correct decisions to get you to that plan.
Okay. So a strategic plan is longer term.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. And then say that again. What else did you say? There's a plan to get somewhere.
A plan. Trying to come up with a way to get to the point you want to be at.
Okay, got it. So the way to get to the point, if that's not strategy, what is that? Starts with a T. This tactics. Mm-hmm. So your strategy is direction. Mm-hmm. Your tactics are the things you do. And then you realize I can't do all tactics at once.
So you have to prioritize.
That's how that works. Mm-hmm. Does that work on a fire scene?
Absolutely.
Works on a police department?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if I'm on a scene trying to get out a hostage, I got to have strategy, I got to have tactics, and I got to prioritize those. If I'm surrounding a structure fire, if I'm deciding on a budget, if I'm running a farm, if I've got a kid going to college, I got to do all three of those things. We just don't put labels on them. But generally speaking, we talk that way. Make sense?
Yeah.
What's our outcome if we get them out of order?
Chaos.
Chaos. A little bit louder. Failure.
Okay. Over budget.
There's the dollar amount. I was waiting for that one. Yeah. It could be anything from loss of limb, loss of life, loss of property, loss to, there's another R word that I know you know. Reputational loss. Ooh, that's a big one. You ever lost your reputation?
Ever had your reputation tarnished, either as a community or as an individual? Tough, happens just like that and takes a long time to get back. So this, I applaud you all for thinking strategically, and this isn't the first time you've done it. So good on you. Oop, that was a, got something there? Go ahead. Mm-mm. Okay. Go ahead. It wasn't a gavel, but it was close. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't getting my attention. No. You with me so far? Does this style work for you?
Yeah,
me great. Doing what I'm doing, is this working okay for you? And I'm going to keep talking to six or so people. Anybody in the room can have a point, by the way. So this isn't, I'm hoping, I'm asking permission then maybe. I mean, everybody's view is okay to have in the room. Mm-hmm. So feel free, regardless of where you're sitting, if you have something to say, I would like to hear you say it. Because questions are fun. I've got a brain here somewhere. All right, here we go. So at some point in time, we're going to leave today. Somewhere on or before 5 o'clock. Okay, good enough?
Okay.
And again, if you want to get up and walk around while we're all chatting, that's fine. So I want to start out with a little bit of a leadership moment. My emergency services folks will maybe enjoy this a little bit. So you're driving a vehicle, and this is the scene in front of you. And as you get close to that scene, someone says there's risk involved, and so they put a sign up. Sound right? As the driver, what would you do?
Slow
I'm
down.
Sorry, what would you do?
Slow down.
You'd slow down. Seems plausible.
Mm-hmm. Try to look ahead.
Look ahead. Well, I wonder why is the sign up? Why would they put the sign up?
Caution.
Okay.
To let you know what's ahead of you.
Okay. What's that word up there on the top left? Risk.
Risk.
Mm-hmm. So use that word as you talk to me about what you would do. And this is very intentional. This is not just fun, because we're gonna come back to this. So use this word called risk. And tell me how you would change your behavior. I see. Starts with R. Come on. You see what?
I see a risk in the next 200 yards. We're going
to
slow down.
You see a risk, and you have a choice to make to change, to do what to the risk?
Increase or decrease? Lower the risk.
Lower the risk. Maybe this is basic 101, but I just won't be on the same page with you. They will slow down. Based on their risk recognition. Does that sound right? Gotta use fancy words because I'm a consultant. So I have to use the bigger words, right? Because of risk recognition, you slow down. Sound right, emergency services people? I'm talking your language, right? Just applies to them, not to y'all, just to them. No, it doesn't. But are you sure that's the only choice? Look at this dude. Some of us have been that dude, maybe.
Maybe.
Same street, same decline, same sign. What do you think he will do? Who's the youngest in the room, Reagan? Maybe that's not true, but I will go. We'll go with Reagan. Younger than me, anyway. So, Reagan, there you are with your bride, your new fiance, your new wife, and your best buddies in the back of the car. And I go, dude, I took that at 85 miles an hour last week and had a blast. Surely you can do better than that. Huh. So what is old Reagan going to do on the same street, the same road, the same sign as you were going to do with your family? Reagan, what do you think you're going to do? Speed up or slow down. I'll make it just two choices.
Pedal to the metal.
Straighten the curves up.
Does it sound right to you? Come on. Don't stop. Does it sound right to you? I'm not fooling you. I'll tell you if I'm going to fool you. No, that sounds exactly right. These people had... I've got a button for this. This guy has got his CEO and his COO sitting right there. And his two constituents in the back seat. and he's going to slow down because of risk recognition. The same risk, based on risk tolerance, another word, he's actually going to speed up. We all have different levels of risk tolerance. High, low, median, and it changes every day based on what we're doing. How many people would run into a burning building? How many people can't wait to get to run into a burning building? Why? But it's so risky. Well, I minimize the risk so that I can accomplish the job and get the outcome. So this idea of risk tolerance and risk acceptance and risk recognition, who jumps out of a perfectly good airplane? Some people do. Is it risky? Sure it is. Now, that's kind of the end of this. I'm going to leave you with this idea of risk and variation and impacts, but I want to come back to it because this has to do with strategy, tactics, and prioritizing. I'm going to make that really clear when we get into a brainstorming session. So this leadership moment is fine. It's really just to say, hey, by the way, we make all these choices based on risk. We put a different word on it sometimes, but it's basically risk. When we're strategizing about the future, we're actually thinking about risk, at least in my vernacular for today. And how we deal with that decides how much we care about something. Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
Anything that you would add differently? Can I do Gail and Brian, or y'all want me to do councilperson May and Powell? What do y'all want me to do?
First thing.
Is it okay? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm Mike. I just want to make sure. It's easier for me. I get tongue-tied sometimes, so it's easier to say, Dale, what do you think? Okay. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any comments about this before I move on? Kevin, I'm going to ask you to say something, so get ready.
Okay.
Any comments on this before I ask you to move on? Kevin, how's this land with you?
Oh, you mean Reagan hitting the pedal top? Through that curve is about as slow as it can be taken.
What's your thoughts about this idea of risk recognition and how that informs people and how they choose to act? Does that land well with you?
Very well, yes.
You see it in your family?
Yeah, I see it in this group, too.
In this group? Yeah. We've talked about church quite a bit. This has nothing to do with church. Yes, it does. It's all decision-making. It just happens to be where we are. Okay, I won't belabor it too much, but I want you to connect with it because we will be coming back to this. So there certainly is a correlation between these concepts and how you manage the city. I hope you see that. And if you don't, you ask me to explain it to you. And it's okay if you don't quite get it. That's cool. That's why we're here working. This is work. You're going to be tired when you leave. This isn't a vacation. This is work. You see the correlation between this idea of risk tolerance and risk management and how you manage the city. You don't even think, because you know, risk tolerance sounds like the person that does the accident claims and does your, that kind of thing. It's bigger than that. Okie dokie. Now let's think about this idea of leveraging strength. So as I move into this, so we did this a little bit different. I was going to do that first, and then Kevin was going to do his part. So we flopped that. So that's why the slide's a little bit wonky. So all this thing that we just talked about makes sense about personal safety, doesn't it? Risk and risk makes sense. All right, so y'all help me talk. What do you see from a safety perspective, what's this sign, this picture show us about this idea of personal safety and risk? What do you see that substantiates this idea of looking at risk and mitigating it?
Hard hats, safety belts.
Okay. Why do they have hard hats on? What's the risk? What's the risk?
Something falling hitting them in the head.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what do? They wear a hard hat. Not hard. All right. What else do you say?
Safety belts.
Safety belts up on that.
Up on the scaffold. Yeah. From falling.
Working from heights.
Mm-hmm.
Risk. How do you mitigate it? Mm-hmm. Put them on a scaffold, not a ladder. Tether them off on a yo-yo or something. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
And y'all PPE so people don't run over.
Right.
Got it. How about this one? So he got the first one. He's out for a minute. How would this concept apply if you were over economics? I've taken Brian out. He ain't gonna say anything. And I'm not either. So get ready. Just come on.
What is that picture of? I'm having a hard time.
That's just a guy in a wallet with money. So it's just economics.
Okay.
So you think budgets and that idea. This is the idea of being concerned about the economics of a project, or how does this idea of risk tolerance relate if you were thinking about economics?
That's what, to me, that's what the majority of the people look at, is how much you're spending of their money, because it is their money, and in our case, our money also.
Certainly.
But definitely not throwing out more than you bring in.
Okay.
Type of stuff.
Sure.
As a risk.
So there's a ball field. Y'all think about a ball field or something, right? Mm-hmm. And pardon me if I use the wrong words, because I'm not from here now, so if I may say something that don't count, you have to back me up. But there's a ball field coming or something,
yeah.
Right? And it's free. It's free, isn't it?
No,
it costs. Right. How much does it cost? Do we have enough in the budget to pay for it? Do I put a first base in, or I know I've got enough to pay first and second base in? I mean, there's risk in that from an economic standpoint. And based on your tolerance level for risk, you decide to put money into the project or not. Yes? In my language.
Yes.
You probably don't say it quite that way, but I get you with me. All right, we're going to be here a while. Come on, keep going. Huh. What about life cycle? What about engineering? So that's two people out. So I'm going to give Debbie, she's out. She answered that one. Now you're out. So we're cutting them down. So the rest of you folks better jump in. Help me under, you have to help too, Dale. Oh, we're getting down here. How do you see this concept over project management? And the fire chief was shaking his head, so if you don't get it, you can phone a friend back there. Okay. How does you see risk when you're thinking about engineering and technology and life cycle of a project?
Do we have enough roads?
Okay.
To do where we want to put these things.
Okay, I get it. Yes, ma'am. Transportation, because if we're going to do something, people's got to get there. That makes good sense to me. Okay. Come on, how about the life cycle of a battery? Who used to buy a battery and it would last 10 years? Now it goes out the month that the expiration goes out. Why is that? There's some engineer over there going, this thing's going to run only, I'm going to make it so it fails more. Right? I'm hope none of you are battery engineers. I don't mean to gig you if you are. But that has to do with how long something lasts. I know I'm belaboring this, but I just want to make this stronger point over and over. Chief, I didn't get close enough to you to read Chief. I just shook your hand. So tell me a little bit more about this idea when you're talking about worrying about law enforcement. How much risk do you think about, and how much tolerance do you have for risk?
Good one.
Well, there's something black in this leather case on your right side.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you carry that? I bet you that's the least amount of equipment you've ever used is that weapon.
Yes.
Interesting. But you carry it 24/7.
Yes.
How come?
Just in case we need it.
Risk.
Yes.
Use my words. Just for in here.
Just for in here.
It's like when you're in the church and they say, what's the answer? Say Jesus.
Ah.
It's when you're going to be close, right? I mean, that's pretty close. Okay, well, the same thing in here. If I ask you a question, just say risk, because that's part of what we're talking about. So you have a tolerance for risk because you're in a job that's risky to begin with. The only way to get out of the law enforcement risk is to quit the job. There's risk in the job. So you wear stuff in the odd event that the risk may go out of scope.
Yes.
And to mitigate that risk, you either put on Kevlar or you got a weapon, et cetera, et cetera. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. There's that definitive yes. We got more white space. We got more thinking. Come on. Business continuity. What does that mean? Business continuity. You just had a big storm. What does business continuity mean? Who's up for this one? Anybody? Thank you, Reagan. What does business continuity mean?
Making sure your business can survive and keep moving forward.
What'd you tell me about a generator when we were having lunch together? Wasn't it something about a power goes out, y'all had some backup or something?
We're doing some, we're working on a grant for some generators.
Yeah, how come? Why?
In case our power goes out.
So that we can continue to
operate.
Run the community. What's that called? Business continuity. Based on your determination of, everybody together,
risk.
Am I getting there yet?
Yeah.
This is an expansive topic that if we don't get it down, look, I got more white space. Because there's more. There's more. What about where those roads are going?
Yeah.
Huh. The future state of this community is based on risk analysis.
Yeah.
And outcome. And what do you want to achieve? And then there's this thing called the law. And if you have a community pool, there's all kind of regulations about the water cleanliness, or that drinking water that I got out of your fountain that's in your coffee cup. There's all kind of rules about that, and all yada, yada, yada. You with me? I want to change it two more times, because you got to get this one. Why in the world would I put up employee satisfaction?
Because if you don't have good employees and they don't stay with you, you can't be effective in what you're trying to do.
Okay, I'm with you. But talk about the risk of low employee satisfaction. What's the risk?
The risk is not having the employees to do the work that you need them to do.
Right. So you could have a HR, you do have an HR policy that impacts the people that work for you, and they like or don't like that policy because they're human, just like me and you. Okay. If I get so sufficiently dissatisfied with your policies, I get a couple of choices. Be a bad employee and just live here and be disgruntled, or go somewhere else. If you don't care about that, you might go, it's the rules. You know, if you quit, I got five more just like you, standing in line. Okay, that's a way to manage. But it's forgetting this idea of risk assessment from an HR perspective. It applies there too. I think I got one more. It's called teamwork. What's the risk on this team of poor teamwork? What's the risk?
Disgruntled council members.
Okay.
Confused administrative staff.
Mm-hmm.
Confused community.
Mm-hmm. But you are tolerant to an amount of dissatisfaction because we're all different people.
Mm-hmm.
But where does the dissatisfaction move us to action? Is where we would have to be aligned.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for letting me bang that into you over and over. But otherwise, you would leave that thinking that's a safety issue. Oh, we do that. We put hard hats on people, then we put cones out in the street, and we call it safe, and that's where risk applies. And I want you to marry this idea of risk tolerance has a lot to do with strategic thinking, how you determine tactics to that strategy, and how you prioritize those tactics to get to your strategy. I'm watching body language to go, they got a question still. You okay? That's a lot. That's like leadership 301. Not 401 yet, but it ain't 101 either. So I'm going to get you just to stand up with me just for a second, all of you. If you're in the room, I want you to participate. And just talk to somebody close to you about what we just talked about. Just for a second. Just go, this guy's off the planet. I don't even know what he's talking about. That's fine. Or that actually shifted my mind a little bit. That's interesting. Y'all just talk. Don't forget Mr. Powell over here.
This guy's
Jimmy, you got to participate with us. There you go. I get it. That's okay. At least you're talking.
No.
What did y'all think about that? Y'all make sure everybody's involved.
Come on, Jimmy. We'll talk.
Come on, Madam Press, you can participate. You can participate, that's okay. Oh, you're doing calisthenics too, good.
Yeah, it is risky and illegal, but you just have to sit down and hold it.
And when you're done talking, sit down. How about that? Talk as long as you want. Okay?
Yeah, Mayor? Let's roll on.
This all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, we have one go to the restroom, so I'm going to wait just a second. Okay, so who would have something to just say out loud based on what y'all just said, something we all just tossed in the room? So however you were and your partner were chatting there just a second, anything said that would be worth just tossing out so everybody could hear it?
I like Reagan and Rebecca's example.
Great, tell me more. Somebody.
Well, Rebecca, our city clerk, is such a wealth of knowledge for us, and she's made the decision to spend a little bit more time at home, less time in the office.
Okay.
And that's a risk to us.
Okay.
Because of what she brings and us losing that.
Okay.
And so we found a way to make her be able to work part-time from home and also in the office as a way to minimize that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So absolutely, employee movement, but working from home,
awesome.
Ma'am.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. No doubt. No, I heard that before you walked in the room. Anything else that was said with your partner that you'd like to chip in the room for us? I did hear Dale say that dumb guy from Macon don't know what he's talking about.
He told me. He told us to say that.
He was probably talking about me.
All right. Well, I hope this style is okay for you. I mean, I can go slower and I can be a talking head. That's just not my style. I would rather tell you a joke occasionally. Hopefully it's okay on the recording and I don't say the wrong kind of joke. And I get you involved and your opinion counts. So I hope that approach is okay. So here comes some actually tougher work. So here's some work to do on your own for a few minutes to prepare. And here's what I would add to, there's a B on the screen somewhere. I can't type upside down very well. There it is. You are about to think strategically about your community for the next, I would assume, year and a half to 5 years. That is an awesome responsibility that I feel confident that you don't take lightly. I'm reminded of a relay race in these situations because there was a council before you and there will be a council after you, I assume. So you have the baton for your season. It may be 4 years, it may be 20 years, but you have a season. Your responsibility isn't to run the organization into the ground, so you can hand that off, that broken baton off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's not our jobs. And again, I'm talking a little free because I've been in a job similar to this. So if I say something wrong, just stop me. But I believe you're in a season. And I believe if you fail to remember that, then it's just what I think about where I think we should go for however long I'm here. That's a strategy. It's just not the best one. So if how long have y'all done emergency preparedness training before the emergency? You just learned like the day before? The day before?
Years.
I mean, you spend all the time thinking about fire prevention. You, I assume you'd rather not fight another fire in your life if you can stop them all or have a hostage situation. I assume you'd never have one again if you could do it. But you got to plan for it because it's the eventuality. It's the same with running a community. I've got to think about this transition, my preparedness, so I can do the best I can so when I step away, the next man or woman is well prepared. So that doesn't occur on a whim. So if you just went, huh, I'll show up for a couple of hours, I'll throw some stuff on the wall, see if it sticks, and somebody will tell me it's a good idea or not, that's not well planned. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to get well planned. Because the next exercise is really, really important. And it won't be finalized. I asked that when we were planning this. You're not here to finalize the out-year strategy for the next 3 years. I don't think that's the task in front of you. These are some of the upfront efforts so that the 1 to 3, 5 year strategy will eventually be solidified. Okay? So that's hard because we may not get around third base here, but that we know that's going to be the case. All right? So back to what I wanted you to I'm gonna have that in my pocket. So I want you to think about your programmatic responsibilities. That's why I went through all of those things about ergonomics and engineering and business continuity and all those things. I wanted you council persons to be thinking about all the vast programmatic responsibilities you have. After you get your head around the vastness of this role, then you think about where you are and where you want to be. I'm going to give you time to do this. I'm going to explain all of these 4 or 5 things, and I'm going to be quiet and let you sit and think. So now I got my responsibilities. Now I got my head around where we are and where I want to be. Oh, yeah, that guy kept saying that thing about risk because there's a new term for you, bottom right. There's optionality. That's the difference between 20-year-old Reagan and 40-year-old Reagan at that curve. There's optionalities that everybody has optionalities. Here's the one that most of us miss. You know, I'm not an island by myself. I wonder how other people feel about what I think is important. You see the connection between 2 and 3? Where I want to go, hang on, but I can't do it by myself. What do other people think about where I want to go? Then, how much work do I have to do to get alignment if we are misaligned? So the good mayor wants to turn left, and he's the only one that wants to, but he sure does think it's the right idea. Nobody likes it but him. That's going to leave some skin in the game to get people to come with him, right? That's what 4 is. And then once all that happens, then I've got to think about, does it still rise to the level of importance? After I've gone through all of that thinking, do I really think turning left is the right thing to do? And if the answer is not now, when is it? Man, there's a lot on that slide. That's a lot. But if you don't go through those steps, in my opinion, you're going to say, go build a football field instead of a baseball field, and it's the wrong strategy because you just slung something up on the wall. So I'm talking pretty candid, but I believe all of that. So I'm going to stop talking for a while. You council persons need to take some paper and spend some time thinking through those. Because what's happening next is I'm going to say, what do you think? And I could have just said, what do y'all think? Let's just throw some stuff up there. I just don't think that's what you want. So this may be 15 minutes of quiet while you write. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's your assignment. All on your own, not with anybody else for now. I'm going to leave that up there. I'm going to give you at least 15 minutes. Head or somebody that works from home or somebody that has family somewhere else, these questions apply to all of us. So if you don't want to miss the opportunity, you could be thinking about your department because the same thing applies to you.
Okay, finish jotting down that one thought. I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. I'm going to give you a few more minutes, but just let me give you a second to finish that sentence, whatever you're writing. And I want to say something, and I'll give you a few more minutes. If you are like most, this is a very unusual exercise. Very few people sit down and think deeply. Most of us go, what you need? Turn right. What do you need? Yeah, don't do that. Very few people take the time to do this exercise because it's hard and it's unusual. Because we're usually in the pounding surf of life, and we don't have time for it to be quiet, and be because it's the quietness is almost loud. So I applaud you for allowing me to give you quiet time, because thinking deeply is a lost art. Okay, I want to point out a handout that you already have. So this handout from Kevin on page 9 had some stuff that he got from somewhere. I don't know whether he drank it up or y'all helped him. I don't know. But it's interesting. It's got some stuff on it. Somebody's thinking about tomorrow. I don't know if you were reflecting on this or not during your last 10 minutes. So I'd encourage you to also think about that. So let me, one more pause and I'm going to get out of the way again. So what are we doing? We're thinking strategically about where we are today, where we want to be. I'm not satisfied with this area. I want it different. How much work is it to do that? And do I really think that's the right thing to do? Oh yeah, somebody already put some work into this too. So another 5 minutes. So you're narrowing down your ideas. What do you really think we ought to be doing going forward? Another 5 minutes.
So I would like to offer you another break. That's brain work. That's again, that's not something we sit around and do a lot of all the time. So this is where we're headed. I'm going to give you a 10-minute break just to get outside, get some fresh air for a few minutes. Come back in, and then we're going to try to get your collective ideas up on the page so Kevin and others can take that going forward and then come back to tell you what we heard collectively. So that's kind of the plan. I will stop before 7:30 p.m., I promise. So y'all go disappear for 10 minutes and regenerate a little bit, and we'll get started here shortly, okay?
If you're going to keep us until 7:30, yeah. Yeah. Wait a minute. Then you're going to have to go and buy us dinner.
Okay. Well, I think I get $12 a day, and so we'll buy it and pray over, and we'll see how far it goes.
I need you to use that.